Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to ActiveQuest episode 122. I'm one of your hosts, Joseph Aiden. Joining me today is the Chris Penwell in a new home. Hello, Chris.
I'm not beautiful today, apparently.
Oh, no, you are beautiful. I'm sorry. Oh, God, I feel so bad.
No, I just got vaccinated, so I feel a bit weird. But
So the vaxxed and newly homed, that's a verb now, newly homed Chris Penwell. Mm-hmm. Hello, Chris.
Hi there. I'm good. I'm flat broke, but other than that, I'm doing well.
Got it. Yeah. I feel you. I definitely feel you on that. So a couple things. Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us. So Josh isn't with us right now because I think he's like still on vacation or he's coming home from vacation. But we're trying to arrange something to where maybe Josh will, you know, be able to join us like maybe tomorrow or something. We'll tack that on afterwards, something like that. So hopefully that works out and they'll be able to join us there. So this is going to be our E3 predictions episode. And we've done this before in the past. I don't know if we've exactly followed this formula, but what we're going to do is we're going to just do round robin style and we're going to there's two categories. There's going to be things at E3 that we think will happen, like that are likely, using our educated brains to make a hypothesis about what we think will happen, and it's supposed to be something that's likely to happen. Then the other category is our sort of fan like wish list kind of a deal, things that we want to happen but probably won't necessarily happen. So we've got three of each of those, so six in total, and then if Josh can join us, they'll have theirs as well. Aside from that, there are a couple news stories ahead of E3. Again, we're not going to go too crazy into it's just been nuts with all the leaks and everything with the E3 stuff, so we're just going to cover a couple points on that. And then with the next episode, I don't even know. I will do my best to be on the next episode, but I'm going to be in the process of a move myself, Chris.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see what happens for next episode. I might have to like record off my phone or something because I'm not going to have internet. I don't know.
Right.
I picked the worst time to move.
And I know this is last minute, but maybe I could set up some like reviews of conferences with a few special guests if I can arrange that.
That would be fantastic, Chris. You are more than welcome to do that. So Chris, everything okay on your end? You were telling me about the new place and how you've got your own office now. That's a huge deal.
Yeah, I do have my own office, and conveniently it's painted green, so I could probably use a green screen at some point. Yeah, I just feel more comfortable, I'm less cramped. I've got two rooms, I've got a bedroom and an office now, so I don't have my bed in the same room as my office, so that makes my like work life better, because I'm not thinking, oh, I could just go on the bed right now and work, you know, if I feel tired, but I can force myself now to actually work in an office environment, and that's the best.
Yeah, the that's a trap. Like,
it's a trap. Yes.
when your bed is in your office. Oh no.
Yeah, that's not good. I like to write in cafes because I can take my mind off of stuff. I can, if I want to take a break, like a short break, I can just people watch and just drink tea, drink coffee, whatever, and then get back to work. You know, so yeah,
that's a good point. And I'm probably gonna actually have to do that when I move to the new place, since we won't have internet for a minute, probably.
Doing the podcast live from a cafe.
We could probably figure something out.
Yeah.
To make all that work, I don't know. We'll have to see. I'm kind of flying by the seat of my pants right now, but nonetheless, we appreciate everybody for joining us. Remember, you can always reach us on Twitter at ActiveQuestShow, via email at activequestpodcast@gmail.com. Remember to keep those iTunes ratings coming. And share the show with everybody. It really helps us out. Chris, you have something for me there?
Yeah, I'm getting it up. We got a new review.
Oh, we did?
Yep.
Oh, beautiful. Okay. And you're going to... And that's... Okay, so that's a thing we do. If you leave us a review... Preferably, it's you leave us good reviews, but
we got a douchebag one on the UK site of Apple Podcasts.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You see, it's not my kind of thing. There, I know. They're okay, and they gave us 2 stars. So if you're from the UK and you love the show, please rate us, because like we only have 1 2-star rating on there. It makes us look really bad. So you could really do us a solid if you give us a 5-star review on the UK site if you're from the UK.
Oh man, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, there's like Apple Podcasts now. They don't put in all the reviews into one page. It's like, there's one for the States, there's one for Canada, there's one for UK. So this review here actually is from the Canadian one. And it's from someone called Court Lalonde. L-A-L-O-N-D-E. And this was on May 18th. They say... It was a pleasure to listen to and love the banter between the host. I feel like I'm listening to a couple of buddies. And that's the kind of feel we want to get with this show. So I'm glad we provided
that's
that
very
for
nice.
You. Yeah, thank you.
Now I do feel like we have a little bit of a home field advantage on that one, since it's Canadian. Although, what happened with the UK guy? I mean,
I don't
what
know.
Was that?
I don't know what,
Chris?
I don't know what happened.
We should have had home field advantage on that, since you're both Canadian and British.
I must have disconnected from the UK audience, apparently.
Bummer.
I'm too Canadian.
Maybe
now.
Maybe we need to talk about beans for breakfast some more, because that's apparently a thing, and I discovered that, and it's just a horrible, horrible thing.
This is what people are interesting. So I'm looking at Bing right now. And a question that comes up that people are asking, actually, are who are the hosts of the Active Quest podcast? So we're getting there.
Okay.
There's a genuine interest. So
genuine
awesome.
Interest. Okay. All right. Sorry about all the banter, I guess. Well, people like the banter. People like the banter. So a couple stories, and then we'll jump into our predictions. The other thing too is that a lot of stuff is leaked. And I just, like, really don't want to cover that, like, leaks.
Yeah, leaks suck.
It sucks. And, like, just, it's in a week. Just watch the thing in a week.
Yeah.
It'll be fine. But one thing, we will talk a little bit about Battlefield. And the article I have in the show here, it has leak stuff in it. We won't cover that stuff. What we'll do is we'll just cover, like, you know, when the Battlefield reveal is going to be. And you know what we should do? We should probably just go through the whole schedule itself, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea. And then we'll get into our predictions. So, couple quick things here. There was a story, there's a pretty lengthy story over at the PlayStation blog. It was an interview with Herman Holst, head of Worldwide Studios over at Sony, and there were several different tidbits there, but one of the big ones obviously, aside from God of War 2 getting delayed, which we'll get to that shortly, is that Sony Bend is working on a new IP. And there's a couple things worth noting about that, Chris. One of them is that it's going to be based on sort of the foundation of, like, the open world that was introduced in Days Gone.
Right.
So that's kind of an interesting thing. The other thing is, I think a lot of people were maybe, like, concerned, or maybe concerned is kind of too strong of a word, but people were sort of thinking, like, man, what's going to happen to Bend? Like, you know, Days Gone didn't really light the world on fire. So I think it's great to see that they're still getting work and that it's a new IP. Chris, I know you weren't the biggest Days Gone fan.
No.
But what do you make of this new IP?
It's interesting because it shows that PlayStation isn't interested in its older franchises, really, with Bend Studio. Like, they used to make Siphon Filter, right? And I think that'd be a really cool kind of exclusive for the PS5 that would feel current, you know? So it's interesting that they're not going back to that, especially as there's a lack of Metal Gear Solid games at the moment, and there's kind of like a void there. But I'm happy that Bend Studio is getting more work. They're not just working on Uncharted games or a Last of Us remake. But it's another open world game, you know? Like,
right. Like, that's a good point. Yeah.
It's PlayStation's formula now is kind of getting stale to me. But I hope this changes with Bend Studio. I hope they're very creative with what they do with the project and not just put zombies in it.
Yeah, and let me read this quote from Herman Hulst here, because I mean, we don't even know what the game is, right? But here's the quote. This is from Herman Hulst. Quote, Bend Studio is working on a very exciting new IP that they're very, very passionate about. They're building on the deep open world systems that they developed with Days Gone, so I'm really happy for Bend Studio. So they're building on the deep open world systems. I'm somebody who gets hung up on, like, semantics a lot. Does this read as this game is going to be open world? Or, like, you could make the argument that maybe it's not, like, quite open world, but it's just built on that system, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's open world. Maybe it just has some similar mechanics. I don't know. It's too vague to really, like, dive that deep.
I think him saying that makes it feel like it's going to be open world.
Yeah.
And there's something I really want to say, but I'm not allowed to say it. So let's just leave it at that.
We'll leave it at that. Okay. Well, nonetheless, I liked Days Gone. I know you didn't like it. I liked it. And I think it's cool that Sony is giving them another shot, because clearly that game was kind of a mess in terms of development, right? And so I don't think Sony was pleased. Obviously, they didn't sign them on for another, like, you know, a sequel.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm happy to see a new IP.
I think Metacritic is, like, one of the most important things for Sony at this point, because we saw a financial report from Sony with, like, the Metacritic scores, like, with each game, right? So I think Sony wants them to be reviewed very well, so it looks good for investors, right?
Yeah, for sure. Good point. Cool. So that was just a little quick thing here. That's really it for the quick stuff. Just got two stories and then we'll go over the schedule. So Chris, since we've got a lot of show to get through, are you ready to get into some quick news here? Ready for some news?
Ready to go.
Your face looked like you were shocked.
Yeah.
You looked shocked at what I was asking. Yeah. Okay. Let's get into some news. All right, so God of War 2 was delayed. No surprise there. Sony Santa Monica put out a tweet with the announcement here. I will read this tweet from Sony Santa Monica or Santa Monica Studio. I never know it's Santa Monica Studio, but I've heard it referred to as Sony Santa Monica. Same with Bend. Sony Bend. Bend Studio. I don't know. Anyway, quote, since the release of the next God of War teaser last year, We've been humbled by the amount of love our community has shown us. We're incredibly grateful to see so many people excited to experience the next chapter of Kratos and Atreus' journey. We remain focused on delivering a top-quality game while maintaining the safety and well-being of our team, creative partners, and family. With this in mind, we've made the decision to shift our release window to 2022. Thank you all for your continued support. We've got some exciting things in the works that we can't wait to show you. End quote. Yeah, of course. It's just, I think, pretty sure everybody was just like, yeah, it's delayed. Yeah, that's fine. Honestly, like, even when this was revealed, I was kind of like, there's no way this is coming out in 2021. There's just, and I think a lot of people, like, not to sound like, oh, I know, you know, I have all the scoops. It's not like that. It's just this game. I mean, the other game was, the first game was delayed a lot. Games just get delayed a lot.
Just delay it. Yeah. Like, don't cause crunch, like excessive amounts of crunch, like Cyberpunk, you know, like just make it work. You know, take all the time you need. We've got enough games to play already.
Oh, for sure. Especially like this year. I mean, and there's probably a bunch of stuff we don't even know about. One thing I want to say, which honestly, this is probably maybe a waste of time to even say this because our audience is probably people who wouldn't fall into this category anyway. But I would like to at least mention that don't harass developers for game delays. Please, like, how many times do we have to keep saying that? Like, don't, like, I saw, like, Alana Pierce, who works at Santa Monica Studio, who used to work at IGN, she was getting, like, I don't even want to read what somebody sent her because it's so horrific, but just, you're gonna say all that because a video game was delayed? Like, seriously? Like, be an adult, please. Anyway, we actually got a question about this, and I'm gonna read it now because it's relevant. Okay. Andrew McMahon, friend of the show, features editor over at Twinfinite, says, convince me God of War isn't overrated. Like, it's good, but it still sits at 4 out of 5 for me due to reputation. I don't actually think God of War is overrated. I think God of War is appropriately rated because I think it's a very good video game. And for me specifically, I'm a sucker for, like little things, like when it comes to like cinematography. I know that we're talking about video games here, but like little like cinematography tricks or like kind of special things. And this game has a very interesting cinematography trick in that it's all in one take. I say trick in like quotes because obviously that's like that was a huge endeavor, and I just think that is so freaking cool, not just from like a technical point of view, but it makes the game feel more intimate and stuff, and I think the combat's great. It does have its flaws, but I really don't think God of War is overrated. Chris, what do you think? God of War overrated?
I don't think so. Like, the story is engrossing. The relationship between Kratos and Atreus is outstanding, in my opinion. Like, it's very, you feel the heart behind the development of this game. You know, the director of the game had a child, and you could tell that it was that storytelling was from the heart. And it was very, when that game came out and when it was in development, they weren't very sure about that direction at first, because Kratos is like this hard ass, you know, badass kind of guy. So I have to commend them for making this like one-dimensional character like so interesting, you know. My one complaint would be the gameplay, because I feel like the combat is a bit too repetitive, and the bosses that show up, you know, with the big stones, they appear way too often.
God, I really don't even remember that. The big
creatures? The big ogres. Yeah. Huh. Yeah, the big ogres, trolls, whoever, they keep showing up. I'm like, okay, you could have a bit more variety there. But the combat is good.
Andrew, to your point, is it a 4 out of 5? Is it a 5 out of 5? I don't know. I really don't think this game's overrated.
No.
I get why you would think that, because it is talked about a lot.
It's better than Red Dead 2. I like this. I'll tell you that much.
I don't know. I'd have to go. I don't know. I'd have to go back. But those came out in the same year, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. That's what I'm saying. Like, God of War got the Game of the Year and surprised everyone because everyone expected Red Dead 2 was going to win it.
That's when we first started ActiveQuest.
Yeah, actually, it was.
1,000 years ago. Mm, that was that was 500,000 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think it's overrated, and I am very excited for the sequel. Okay. Couple things here. Battlefield 6. We're not going to talk about the leak, but what I do want to do here... okay, cool. Alright, I found it here. Sorry about that. Alright, here's what I've got. This is a story from Polygon. Michael McWhorter. New Battlefield reveal coming on June 9th. Quote, Electronic Arts and developer DICE will reveal the next game in the Battlefield franchise on June 9th, the publisher announced Tuesday. This year's Battlefield will be unveiled next Wednesday at the conclusion of a countdown that starts at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 a.m. Pacific. Exactly when the game will be revealed is unclear. Here we go. In April, DICE teased an imminent reveal of the game, and it looks like it's going to be the biggest team ever. Okay, so let me read this last quote here. Quote, we're in daily playtesting mode right now. This is from EA. Polishing, balancing, and making the best possible Battlefield game we can. I can tell you it's a bold step. It has everything we love about Battlefield, and it takes all of it to the next level. Epic scale, all-out military warfare, crazy, unexpected moments, game-changing destruction, massive battles packed with more players and mayhem than ever before, all brought to life with the power of next-gen consoles and PCs, end quote. So I've actually seen stuff on this, and I didn't go to the preview, but I've seen some stuff, and yeah, it's really cool. I'm not gonna say anything, but yeah, it's really cool. And that's all I will say, because there are tons of leaks online. You guys can go look at that, but I don't want to talk about that on
the
show.
Where did the
leaks
come from?
So what happened was they had this preview event, which was meant for just, you know, people like journalists and YouTubers and stuff. But what ended up happening was the YouTubers are not on the same wavelength as the journalists. Like, some of them are, I guess, but basically a YouTuber just like screen capped the whole presentation or whatever, and then just like leaked it.
Those
basically.
Damn content creators, man.
Yeah, and like, that's annoying because I don't want a publisher to like not do a preview event because they're like, oh, shit always gets leaked. Well, maybe just don't fucking do it with
check
YouTubers.
Check your people. And like, YouTubers are cool. They can be awesome. They kind of credibility.
Some of them, yeah.
But yeah, you're just gonna make sure these people can follow the rules, you know?
Or like, I don't know if there was an NDA involved with this. Kind of assume so, but I don't know, man. I think the journalists get embargo times more than like these content creators do, and so I don't know. You're right. They shouldn't just say no YouTubers, but I don't. It's just kind of a bummer. But anyway, from what I've seen and from what I've heard other people say, this game's going to be really cool. I don't think that's breaking embargo or whatever for me to say this game is going to be cool. All right. Cool. That's pretty much it for that. The final thing, Chris, I wanted to get through here before we get into our predictions, is I just wanted to go through the E3 schedule.
Yeah.
And so the other thing that's kind of annoying is that there's E3, but then there's Summer Game Fest.
Yeah.
Which is like separate from E3, I guess. And it's just, it's like a month long thing. It sounds like I'm complaining. I am a little. The problem is it's just hard to keep track of everything. But anyway, this is just E3 stuff. So it starts on Saturday, June 12th. And that will start with press conferences from Ubisoft and Gearbox and a session with GamesBeat, which GamesBeat is where Jeff Grubb works.
Yeah, there's going to be no game announcements, he said on his podcast.
Okay. Well, you guys can go bother Jeff Grubb if you'd like.
Yeah.
Don't bother Jeff.
No, he don't. He says, oh, it's just going to be two fat guys talking about games and we're just going to get a lot of shit over it.
Yeah. The other thing, let's see. Okay, Sunday, June 13th. This is kind of when stuff actually starts happening. Microsoft and Bethesda's joint showcase will start at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. And this is so annoying because it says Square Enix, PC Game Show, and Future Game Show are going to be shown that day, but no times.
Yeah.
We don't know
what is with that.
That's a week from now. We don't know what time. I have no idea. And then Warner Brothers Games Back for Blood and 24 Entertainment will be featured again at some point. We don't know when on Sunday.
I'm looking at the E3.
Yeah, I actually don't know. Here, let me Google that. We are professional podcasters here. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is there's a new multiplayer combat title called Naraka Blade Point.
Okay.
I've never even heard of that. let me see what other games this company has done. You know what? I don't care.
Oh, it's a 60-player action battle royale offering players insane mobility powered by parkour and a grappling hook. A vast arsenal of melee and ranged weapons and a roster of characters with powerful abilities. That sounds fun.
I like how you say melee.
Melee?
No, you said melee.
Melee?
I like that.
Oh,
I like that.
Melee. Okay.
What is the second Smash Brothers game called?
Melee.
Okay. I say melee, but that's fine. Chris, while we're on the topic of the words and pronouncing things and the British people.
Yes.
Do they really eat beans for breakfast?
Yes, we do.
Is that
Yeah, baked beans is amazing on toast. Then you put a bit of cheese on top.
On toast? Are you kidding
me?
On toast?
Yeah. I'm making that for you when we go to E3 next year.
I mean, I'll try it.
It's good.
That just sounds...
Then you put some bangers in there too.
Wait, hold on. I have a couple questions. Uh-huh. Are the beans sweet? Are they like sweet beans?
It's like a little bit of tomato sauce in it, really. It tastes kind of like that.
So it's like kind of bitter?
No, it's sweet.
It's sweet? Okay. All right. Well, that's a horrible
people
thing.
People
that
back
I just
me
had
up
to
on
learn.
This. You can get beans
I
here.
Know they do it. I know. I've seen it. I just wanted to corroborate, and I'm very upset now. And let's move on.
You should be upset.
On Monday, June 14th. what do we got here? There's a lot. Mythical Games, Freedom Games, Razer, and Capcom will have a thing. Doesn't really say what, but they'll have presentations at some point. Doesn't say the time.
Yeah.
As well as Take-Two, which I do know what Take-Two is doing. That's been leaked as well. Oh. And then Verizon and Intellivision. So that's Monday.
Yeah, Intellivision has the new console, Amico, coming out. That's like family focused.
Yeah. Hey, so correct me if I'm wrong, Chris. I can't recall, and again, I'm young compared to, you know, a lot of people have been doing this for a while. I don't recall Capcom ever having a press conference or whatever, a presentation.
Never, no.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be like a casual thing. It's going to be, that's what I'm thinking. It's going to be like a panel like in Comic-Con or something. They've done that before. So I'm thinking maybe it could be like that, or it could be like a proper presentation. I don't know. That's the thing with E3 this year. Like, there's a lack of clarity about stuff. you know? Like,
dude,
why can't you explain what it's going to be about and prepare us for it?
Not only is there a lack of clarity about, like, the showcases and stuff and the times, which is fucking... I can't even believe... Like, we're a week out. By the time you guys hear this episode, we'll be days out and, like, no time. But also on the back end of, like, applying as media and, like... why was that just such a shit show? Like, in the website was being weird. And on Monday, when everything goes live for media and stuff, and we can schedule appointments, that's going to be an absolute mess.
Yeah.
It's going to be a mess, Chris.
Yeah, it is.
Just be prepared for that.
Okay.
Tuesday, June 15th, Nintendo is going to be going, and they'll be going on at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern, and then that'll be followed by the Treehouse Live, which is going to be 3 hours long of gameplay and stuff. Then on that same day, Bandai Namco, Eureka Games, and GameSpot will have events.
Okay.
And then it'll end with the E3 award show. So that's that.
Yeah.
Bandai Namco, you've got to, well, we'll get into predictions, I guess, but you've got to think Elden Ring, right? At Bandai Namco's show?
Yeah, because the whole video was leaked, the trailer.
Right.
I think, yeah, that could be something that shows up.
Yeah, speaking of Jeff Grubb.
Mm-hmm. Grubb.
Jeff Grubb said, said that Jeff Keighley is gonna show off Elden Ring. So,
it kind of feels like a redemption for him because everyone's been asking for it from him for a while.
Right.
So it's gonna be good for Jeff.
And by the way, that wasn't something that just Jeff Grubb told me. That he has his own podcast and he said that on his podcast. And so Summer Game Fest, which again, this is our E3 show we're doing here, not Summer Game Fest show, but I will say, let me get this schedule pulled up for Summer Game Fest, because I think the first day, it's called Kickoff Live.
Yep, that's going to be about 2 hours long.
Right, that's June 10th.
Mm-hmm.
That's 5 days from now. By the time you hear this episode, it'll be like a couple days later. Kickoff Live starts at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and apparently Jeff Grubb said that Keighley's got Elden Ring, so possibly that's when it'll be shown.
Mm.
So
I think
you guys can look forward to that.
Yeah, maybe we could get a little gameplay trailer, and then during Bandai Namco's thing, we could see like actual gameplay.
A walkthrough
or something.
I think that'd be, that sounds likely. Chris?
Mm.
That's it, really? That's yeah. That's it. That's the show. Thank you, everybody. Goodbye. No.
Goodbye.
All right, goodbye. All right, Chris, let's take a little break.
Yeah.
Do you want to wait on the break? Do you want to take
a break?
Let's
keep going. Let's keep going if you're
comfortable. You
want
to keep going? Okay. Well, I'm not comfortable. I'm always uncomfortable, but we'll keep going. Cool. All right, let's get into our predictions. So again, let me remind you of how this is going to work. Two categories, and let's separate the categories. Let's start with the what would you like to start with, Chris? The category of stuff we think will happen, or just stuff we want to happen? What you think will happen?
Let's end on a positive,
yeah.
But I do have positive things for the burst section, too, that I think are going to happen.
Hopefully we can get Josh's, expectations and his wish list in here as well.
Xbox, Halo Infinite is gonna do so well. It's gonna be the best game of the show, and I'm excited to see it.
Oh, hello, Josh. I didn't know you were.
I'm just cuddling my Xbox. I just came back from my vacation, and having a good time. Fuck you,
Josh,
guys.
What? Fuck you guys. Josh, what is Xbox Game Pass?
It's the best deal.
It's just the best deal.
It's just the best deal.
Yeah, it's just the best deal. All right. That was our Josh cameo.
There you go.
Cool. All right. What we think will happen. And what do you want to flip a coin or something to see who goes first? Here. Let's flip a coin.
Okay.
Chris, heads or tails?
Heads.
Okay. Oh God. Okay, you're first.
Okay.
So you get to decide.
Okay.
You win. It was heads, so you get to decide who goes first, I guess.
I'll go first, yeah.
Okay, you can go first. All right. And by the way, I don't know what this is the reason why it's weird. It seems like it's like we're not prepared. We're not. But also, I don't know what Chris has. This is a surprise.
Okay.
And he doesn't know what he doesn't know what I have.
No.
So, yeah. All right. Take it away.
This is going to be a strange one to start with. I think Destroy All Humans 3 will be officially announced because there was a tease in one of the trailers for Destroy All Humans' remake.
I think that is very likely. And let me tell you why. Let me tell you why I think that is very likely. Deep Silver, they tweeted recently. This is from Deep Silver. Our parent company, Koch Media, is making an announcement. Is making an announcement as part of Summer Game Fest on June 11th. To give you a heads up, you won't see Dead Island, Saints Row, Metro, or Time Splitters there, or at any other E3 2021 event. We'll let you know when we have other news to share. Notice that Destroy All Humans is not a part of this list, Chris. Exactly. So I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think you're right. Anything else on that? Like, do you know what it's going to look like? Or
I think it will take place in a different time period. Probably, I think the last game was in the 70s. So we'll probably see it in the 80s this time.
Mm. Yeah, the 80s are kind of coming back now. Yeah. Warzone's in the 80s. Mm-hmm. Stranger Things.
Oh.
Wasn't that in the 80s?
I don't know exactly what's going to happen. There's going to be spoofs of Rambo and, I don't know, all that kind of stuff too.
A Terminator and shit.
Terminator, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool. I wish I could be more enthusiastic about that prediction.
Yeah, I know. But this is reality.
I don't like
right?
Destroy. I know. Yeah, I don't really like Destroy All Humans, but I think that's a safe bet. Cool. All right. Let me go to my list here. My first one's a little boring and safe.
Okay.
But if we're going to be based in reality, I have to say that GTA 6 will not appear at E3.
Hey, right.
Hey, I don't, that's it, really. Yeah, that's all I've got on that. We can assume that game is in development.
I think so.
Like, why wouldn't it be in development? But also, GTA 5 is about to release on PS5. Again, you know, whatever.
But we've seen sales slump recently. We haven't seen it on the top 10 or top 20 for a while, so maybe it'll be soon time to see it on the new game. But
yeah. And you, when you say slump, you mean just in comparison to how it used to be.
Exactly.
You know, like
yeah, right.
Top
yeah,
three.
Right, exactly.
I don't think Rockstar's going to
They're fine. Slump. They're fine.
Yeah, I think they're all right. You know what? I'm going to couple this by saying no GTA 6, but 2021 is the 20th anniversary of GTA 3.
Whoa.
And I'll leave it at that.
Whoa.
And I'll leave it at that. And I will say this. Take-Two has a presentation or whatever, something that they're doing.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So I don't know anything. I just want to preface. I don't know things, but I will say that it is the 20th anniversary of like one of the most important open world games of all time. So anyway, Chris, what do you got? Still keeping in the category of what we think will happen.
Okay. I think Final Fantasy 16 will not be releasing in 2021.
Okay. How does that tie to E3? You think we'll see something on it?
I think we'll see something on Final Fantasy 16. Some gameplay, yeah. More context, more about the characters,
right.
Like a story trailer perhaps, so we know more about what's going on in the world, but I don't think that's releasing in 2021. I think another will be in its place, so this is going to be a two-parter. I think that rumored Team Ninja Final Fantasy game that we've been seeing, that's more like a Souls-like, think that will release. This year, and I think that's going to be a spin-off to Final Fantasy 16.
Cool. Yeah, so I think Fanbyte broke that story. So we should probably link that. I'm not going to read through the whole story here, but just to give the listener some info here. Fanbyte did break this story. Square Enix is set to announce a new action RPG Final Fantasy spin-off. And it will apparently be developed by Team Ninja, who's the team that made Dissidia NT. Chris, are you familiar with this Dissidia?
Yeah, it was terrible.
Okay, all right. Well, hopefully their next attempt is a little bit better. But yeah, like you mentioned, it's gonna play similarly to Neo, which people love Neo. And it's apparently going to be called Final Fantasy Origin.
Okay.
So I don't really know how that ties to Final Fantasy 16, but
I might be wrong then about that, but I think that game's coming before Final Fantasy 16 because it could take the place of World of Final Fantasy, where that spin-off released before Final Fantasy 15, so Square Enix has a track record of doing that kind of stuff. And Koei Tecmo develops games super fast.
Yeah, what's up with... is that, by
the way? I don't know.
What? It's like time affects them differently or something.
Yeah.
It's very bizarre. I don't understand. Not all of them are good, no. But they sure do like to make those
video
computer
games.
Yeah. Those gosh darn computer games. All right. Yeah, Chris, I'm with you. I don't think Final Fantasy 16 is coming out this year. But since we don't know much about this action RPG, and we're just going to assume that it's real because there's a lot of sources that say that it's real. Yeah, but since we don't know much about this, I think I'm more inclined to think that it's probably coming out this year. So, yeah, the spinoff, that is. Cool. All right, my next one is Monster Hunter 6 gets revealed.
Oh, really?
Or wait, hold on. Not 6. Sorry, I fucked that up. World 2. Monster Hunter World 2 gets revealed. Monster Hunter World 2, or is it 6? Was there a 5?
No.
Whatever. The next main line. Let's see. There was 4. Maybe it's 5. Monster Hunter 5? Is 5 world? I don't know.
I think...
The
next Monster Hunter, I think it would be called World 2, just because of that name recognition now.
World is so important. Yeah. 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 And so, I think this will be... Yeah, it'll be, like, built on the foundation of World. Run better, blah blah blah. And I see the thing with the Monster Hunter series is it's very complicated, right? But somehow World managed to sell a gajillion copies and is Capcom's best-selling game. I still don't believe that. Yeah, I can't believe that Monster Hunter is their best-selling franchise. Like, I just can't believe that. But anyway, I don't know what it's gonna have. I don't have any specifics on what I want or what I expect, but yeah, the next mainline Monster Hunter game, I think, will be revealed during Capcom's presentation. And also, I think that was something that was leaked. Remember that Capcom leak that happened like a year ago or something? I don't know if you remember that. There's a bunch of, Dragon's Dogma 2 is apparently going to be there. I don't know. And this was leaked like years ago. So, yeah. That's my second prediction. I think that is likely. Chris,
yep.
Your last prediction.
Okay. I think I mentioned this a few episodes ago, but I believe that more 3DS games will be ported to the Nintendo Switch because we've kind of run out of Wii U games. Now there's 3DS games to work on. So it could be Fire Emblem, could be Kid Icarus, it could be Ever Oasis. There could be all sorts of games that they could bring from the 3DS, which has a really great library, to the Switch.
Yeah. Is there one you'd like to see in particular? I know you're a big Kid Icarus fan.
Kid
right?
Icarus Uprising, because I want to play it with proper controls.
Right.
I've never finished
that game.
But I want to finish it with proper controls and experience that with HD graphics, with the multiplayer modes that are in there. That'd be fantastic.
I tried playing that game and my hand hurt after about 10 minutes.
Yeah, no.
Because of the way it came with that peripheral, remember?
Doesn't work.
For you to hold the system up and so your hands don't hurt. Oh my god. Yeah. So you think it'd be like a port of the 3DS game, not like a new game.
But I think the most likely one is going to be a Fire Emblem collection or like Awakening and Fates.
Oh, that'd be sweet.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a certainty of that happening.
Okay, I like Fire Emblem, so I am into that. Cool. So, Chris, those are our predictions for what we think will happen. Let me read through mine again, just to remind everybody: no GTA 6, But perhaps something GTA 3 related, since it's the 20th anniversary. Monster Hunter World 2 or 6 or 5, whatever the next... Because it's weird. There's, like, generations, and then there's spinoffs, but I don't know. The next mainline Monster Hunter game, I think it'll be World 2. Oh, and then my last one. Let me give you my last one here. Banjo-Kazooie at Microsoft Showcase.
No, you think that's happening?
I think Banjo-Kazooie is going to be revealed. I think that's likely. Again, I don't have any scoops. I didn't see any leaks. I think Banjo-Kazooie is going to be at Microsoft Showcase.
That'd be huge.
I think it's early for that, but I think Microsoft is like in such a great place right now, just with Game Pass and all these acquisitions and stuff, and obviously the Bethesda stuff. And look, and their show's going to be 90 minutes long.
Yeah.
I mean, I think maybe just the logo or whatever, maybe a little bit more. I think Banjo-Kazooie is going to be at Microsoft Showcase.
I can think of a developer who might make it. I think Playful Studios, who made the Super Lucky Tail games. I think that's possible. I don't think Rare's focused on Everwild right now, so I don't think they'll get to Banjo.
Yeah. So, that's my list. No GTA 6, Monster Hunter World 2, Banjo-Kazooie. Chris, you want to run down your list of what you think will happen one more time?
Yeah, so Destroy All Humans 3 gets announced, because there was a tease. Final Fantasy 16 will not be releasing in 2021. I think the Team Ninja game, Final Fantasy Origin, whatever it's called, that will release instead in 2021. And then my last one was more 3DS games coming to the Switch. So Fire Emblem Collection, Kid Icarus, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Chris, now that we have all the boring stuff out of the way...
I thought that was very boring. Banjo is very exciting. Like Michael Coswera, he would shit a brick if that ever happens.
If Banjo... Oh, man, yeah. Let's get into what we think or what we want to happen. This is just us just trying to will things into existence. This is going to be more just speculative and just what would be awesome to see from us. So, Chris, you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. This one's a bit predictable. Sorry.
Wait, hold on. Let me do a prediction of your prediction. Hold on.
Okay, go for it.
Yeah, hold on. Wait.
Go for it.
Kingdom Hearts 4.
No.
Kingdom Hearts 4.
No.
Oh, not Kingdom Hearts 4?
Because they said that Kingdom Hearts news won't be coming until next year. So.
Okay, let me try one more. Sure. New Rayman.
No, but I'd love to see that personally. It is about Kingdom Hearts.
Okay, all right, go ahead.
But I think there's going to be there's going to be a Kingdom Hearts collection on Switch, and then Sora comes to Smash.
Oh, wow. Dude, if Sora came to Smash, I think that like the internet would lose its mind.
Yeah, I would lose my mind.
That would just...
The whole neighborhood would know that I'm absolutely mental.
Man, yeah. You gotta think that's happening, right? Like, I'm not too engrossed in the Smash community, but...
It's all down to Disney.
You gotta think that's... Oh, are there any other Disney characters in Smash?
Nope.
No, there aren't any, right?
Nope. But that would be a dream announcement. It's kind of that at that point now, there's only two characters left. And it seems, you know, the Smash series is going to take a long hiatus. So,
right.
I don't know. It seems like with so many characters now, it can't really top it.
Yeah. Now let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
We know there are two characters left.
Yes.
Do we know if both of them are going to be revealed at E3?
No.
Or...
But people are saying that there might be two. We don't know of any. There's been no leaks whatsoever. Which is kind of making me nervous. Because it could be just a Nintendo character.
Right. I am going to err on the side of that they're not going to announce Sora for Smash.
Yeah.
Just because that's just how it's been. Like, it's just been disappointment up until this point.
But
if they want to end on a high note, maybe? I don't know.
They they rarely do, though. Like,
right.
Incineroar yeah. was the last one. Bayonetta was the last one for a game. What was the other one? I know, for last season, it was Byleth from Fire Emblem. So they don't really have that kind of scaling up to like the biggest kind of announcement ever, right? So I think E3 this time, this is the last moment for like a really huge character to show up. So I'm thinking someone that would blow the internet away would be Zora, but also Master Chief.
Oh, wow. Yeah, Master Chief.
Or Crash.
Master Chief is not going to happen.
Crash, though.
I think Crash is the most likely
yeah?
out of those.
You think?
Out of those three.
Like, can you imagine like Sonic, Crash, and Mario fighting each other? Oh my god.
Yeah.
And then the stage?
Oh my god, yeah. There'd be like boxes you could crash on top of.
It'd
and
be
stuff,
on the beach.
Or bounce on. Yeah. Oh man, that'd be awesome. I hate to say this, but I don't think it's Sora. I think it will be Crash. I hate to say that. I'm sorry.
I hope
I'm wrong. Or what if it's both? What if it's both? What if it's Sora and Crash? Holy fuck.
Oh,
would just melt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Part of me wants it
to be Spyro, but I know Crash is the more dominant
right.
character.
Yeah. I know how much that means to you, and I know how much that means to everybody like the in the Smash community. I hope it's Sora. I really do.
My mind I hope it's Sora. Blown. Like, if it's Jonesy, it's not right. Nah, not kidding. Don't start right.
I hope it's not Jonesy. All right, Chris.
Yep.
Keeping in the spirit of predicting each other's predictions, what do you think?
Oh.
What do you think? My first prediction is, or just one of them. I just want to see if you'll. This is my wish list prediction.
Let's think.
Gun to head.
Another Resident Evil gets announced for the Switch.
No.
Okay.
No. You're gonna kick yourself when I tell you.
Oh god.
Wario Land 5.
Oh shit.
Wario Land 5,
yeah.
Please. You know, Nintendo, this is tangentially related or mildly related. They Nintendo sent out this survey asking if people would pay $60 or $50 for a WarioWare game.
Yeah.
While I would much prefer a Wario Land game, if we got WarioWare, I would be thrilled. I would be over the moon if we
Those
got
games
WarioWare.
Are great.
But
and that works so well
yeah.
with the Switch.
I know. And it would be funny and weird, hopefully. Mm-hmm. And yeah, those games are great. But I would shit into another dimension. I don't even know what that means. if we got Wario Land 5. It's not going to happen. That's why it's on this list instead of the other one. It's not going to happen because Nintendo doesn't give a shit about Wario. But if that happened, there would most certainly be tears from me. And lots of screaming, and I would probably get naked. I don't know why those three things would happen, but that's what
hopefully you're not on a Game Informer stream. Oh my god.
No, I don't think I will be. Chris, what's your next one?
I dare you, Alex Van Aken, to put him on during the Nintendo Direct.
Oh my god.
I dare you.
Oh god. No, I don't. For the sake of Game Informer, I don't think I should. Okay, Chris, what's your next one?
Oh, okay. Let's see here. I would love to see the Jak and Daxter series get remastered, like Shadow of the Colossus and Crash Bandicoot.
Oh, yeah.
I think that is likely. I just want to see more 3D platformer love. It's like Ape Escape and Sly Cooper, you know. Because Ratchet, he's awesome. But some other PlayStation heroes need some love as well, so I see that.
Yeah. What team do you think makes it if it is a thing? Jak and Daxter.
It's definitely not Naughty Dog. It'd be
no
someone like Sanzaru Games.
Yeah,
I think Blue Point is working on Metal Gear Solid. But also maybe something else that I'm going to mention the next. With the next prediction.
Okay, cool. I would like to see it too. I really like the Jak and Daxter games, you know, 20 years ago. God, I hate that Chris, don't you hate that that was 20 years
yeah,
ago?
Yeah. Oh. Is it 20 Woof. Years ago? It'd be 20 years to next year. So maybe that could get announced for a 2022 release.
Okay. Okay, yeah, it's been... Let's see. I thought it came out in 2001. I could be wrong. Yeah, the first one came out in 2001.
Oh, okay. So maybe we'll get a surprise announcement for a 20th anniversary collection.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. All right, my next one. This is, again, unsurprising. Splinter Cell, please. Yeah. Again, you know, for the seventh year in a row, literally, or eighth year. Please, Splinter Cell, please. Mm-hmm. That's it. I'm tired of begging for it.
You just
need
to get an Oculus VR headset.
Or just play any other game that's published from Ubisoft, right? that just for some reason has Sam Fisher in it, but they will refuse to make a new Splinter Cell game. Oh, God.
You can make it work with the open world stuff.
Yeah, I would love for it. Like, I'd be thrilled, whatever it is, just because I miss that series so much. But yeah, I would kind of almost like it to be kind of in, like, almost like Hitman. Not necessarily in, like, tone, but maybe, like, in sort of structure where there's, like, multiple ways you can handle things, and it's sort of like a sandbox. I think that'd be really cool. But that's it. And you know how the reveal would be. You know how it would be. It would go dark, and then you would just see the three green lights from Sam Fisher's helmet, and then you would know exactly what it is, and the internet would lose its mind.
Yeah.
That's how it would go, and that's what I want. Chris, I guess this is your final pick. What is your final pick?
Please forgive me for this prediction, because it's going to be a second Kingdom Hearts one. I apologize.
Oh, no. Oh, God. God help us all.
I think because it's going to be the 20th anniversary next year, there will be a remake by Blue Point Games of the first game.
Oh, the first Kingdom Hearts?
Yes.
I will bet you a steak dinner that's not happening.
I know that, but I feel like that's a game that kind of needs a remake. Like, the platform feels a bit odd. It's still my favorite game ever. Like, I just love the world exploration, the story, elements like that. But I think, like, the platforming sections are pretty difficult to control. And some of the camera issues do come up, so... I would love to see that game get re-enhanced and, you know, remastered from the ground up. That'd be amazing. But I doubt it.
I'll tell you this. I think that will happen at some point.
Yeah.
Like, maybe 10 years from now. I don't know. I most certainly think that's going to... I think because Kingdom Hearts is just so important, and, like, Square has made it clear that they like, you know, re-releasing things. And eventually... you're going to get to the point where you can't just re-release the first game on the PS7 or whatever, or PS6, whatever. Eventually that's going to not hold up, right? Like you said, it doesn't hold up now. So I definitely think that's going to happen, but I don't think it's happening anytime soon. So.
Yeah, and I think there's a rumor that Blue Point is actually working on Legacy of Kain for Square Enix.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Yeah.
Speaking of Blue Point, Chris.
Yeah.
Why don't I give you my last one? Mine is kind of in the same
Metal Gear Solid?
That's mine.
Yeah.
So Metal Gear Solid, it's one of my favorite series, but that first game, it's just so rough. Like, it came out in what was that, 98, I think is when that game came out. And, like, it's still, like, you can still play it, and it's, if you try really hard, you can get through it, but the controls are rough and all that, but. You mentioned Blue Point. I've heard Blue Point 2, and I have been hearing Blue Point for, like, I feel like the past year or whatever. Yeah. But I don't have, like, tangible evidence to support that. I've just heard people say that. I think it's likely, and that's what's nice about this prediction, is that I think it's actually likely. Because you know Blue Point is working on something, right? Like, I don't know.
And Konami has some news coming up, they've said. Like, some tantalizing news. So, Metal Gear Solid remake would be pretty huge.
I guess the other thing I keep thinking about is, like, how that would work without Kojima. And, like, I guess you don't need... You don't need Kojima to remake the first Metal Gear Solid game. But, the idea of seeing anything new that's Metal Gear Solid related without Kojima at Konami, it just, like, almost doesn't sit well with me, I guess. You know?
But with this being a remake, I guess.
Oh, working with... But that would mean that he would have to work with...
I think Konami. It's a PlayStation and Konami thing. So Kojima's working with PlayStation on working on this stuff.
Huh.
And then PlayStation's just licensing the Metal Gear Solid license.
God. I don't know. The more I think about it, the less likely I think that is to happen now.
Don't give up hope.
I'm sad.
Don't give up hope. Well, anything can happen in this industry.
I mean, if that does happen and it's anywhere near as good as the Demon's Souls remake was, I would be in heaven, because that the Demon's Souls remake is just so... I mean, that is like that should be the definition of what a remake is. I think that remake is so good. Ugh.
I do want to ask you, actually, before we move on, like, was the creator of the Souls series involved with Demon's Souls?
No,
exactly. That's why it's like it could work, but even without Kojima.
And I think that's valid. The only thing that comes up in my mind, though, is that there was like bad blood there with Kojima and Konami.
Yeah.
And so it's a little bit different, but your point still stands. But I will say that I think Miyazaki from the Souls series, I think he like gave Blue Point his blessing.
Yeah, like, I remember that.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Like, so yeah, he wasn't like working on it, but I think he like verbally said, "I approve of this" or something. I don't know. So I don't know. I just keep thinking about Konami and Kojima because it's a little messy. All right, that's it for our predictions. Chris, let's finish up the show with our listener questions. Actually, here, let's run through our predictions one more time. This is our wish list for E3.
Yep.
So you want to go first?
All right, so my wish list would be the Kingdom Hearts Collection on Switch and Sora in Smash. Kingdom Hearts Remake by Blue Point Games, and then... the Jak and Daxter series coming back, or Sly Cooper, or any kind of 2D platformer being remade.
Or a 3D platformer.
A 3D platformer, sorry.
3D.
3D brain.
Yeah.
Vaccine.
Brain. Vaccine. Yeah. Okay. For me, Wario Land 5, although that's not going to happen, I will take a WarioWare game and be glad about that too. Splinter Cell and Metal Gear Solid Remake by Blue Point Games. It could be remade by a different studio that isn't Blue Point, but I would really like for it to be Blue Point, because they're just so good at what they do.
I want to ask this right before we go on. Metroid Prime 4, is it going to happen?
No. Okay. No way.
Okay.
No. Steak dinner.
Yeah.
Steak dinner.
I'm not betting a steak dinner on that, but I just want to ask.
Okay. No. Okay. There's no way. The reason why there's no way is because that game already messed up. You know, it was already bad that it had to restart. They are not talking about that game until it is like close to launching.
It's
and
been
that,
2 years
ready to go with that.
I think they have to show some progress. It's been the 4 year anniversary since it got announced, so I think that would give some people security.
Well, yeah, but you can't really even take like you can't. That doesn't count really because it had to restart. So
right.
Really, but it's been 2 years. Yeah.
Two years is a long time.
Yeah, I'm completely just forgetting about that game. Right now. I would love to, and you know what? Here, I can add another. I would love to see the Metroid Prime trilogy for Switch. I would love.
Yeah,
to see
me
that.
Too.
I
want
to
catch up.
I know. Yeah, I'm just like I'm tired of being disappointed. I'm tired of being hurt, Chris.
Yeah. God. Ubisoft will keep hurting you with Splinter Cell.
I know. We'll live. And Nintendo with Wario. Yeah. So, all right, let's take a little break, and then when we come back, we'll do listener questions, and then we'll talk about what we've been playing, although I don't know that we have much to say on that. So we'll be wrapping up here shortly. So we will be right back. All right, everybody, we are back. Thanks for joining us today. Remember, you can always reach us on Twitter at ActiveQuestShow, via email at activequestpodcast@gmail.com. The reason I bring that up is because this is a part of the show where we answer your listener questions. And so you can reach us the ways I just mentioned, or on every Wednesday we post our Twitter thread where we ask for questions and comments from our audience, and we really do appreciate that. Let me get this pulled up here. Our first question, we already answered the one from Andrew, so thank you for that, Andrew. Our next one here, this is from Sterling Silver. Sterling asks, do you think this is the Switch's most important E3 since we're in the console's second half of its life? I think is what
it means. Nice.
Second half of its life, and it's gotten releases for all the major franchises. We get to see where their priorities are with smaller series and if they're getting sequels to certain games. You know, I hadn't considered this, but I think, I don't know that it's its most important either. I don't know. That's too big of a statement to make, but I think you're right, Sterling. I think, this E3 is going to be hugely important for Nintendo because of the points you mentioned here. See where these properties are, kind of set the tone for the next couple of years, and especially with the Switch Pro, which we haven't even mentioned, because again, I'm tired of being hurt. Zelda and all that stuff, and see if we're getting sequel. Yeah, it could be the Switch's most important E3. I think maybe its first E3 was also very important.
Because of the whole Wii U debacle.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I think this is a good point. Chris, what do you think on Sterling's question here?
I think this year is going to be the start of the second phase for the Switch. We're going to start seeing sequels of the main titles like Splatoon. You know, Splatoon 3 is going to come out next year. I think we'll see more of Breath of the Wild 2. And everyone says like it's a guarantee that it's going to be there, but I disagree. You know, I think anything could happen with that game, especially Zelda. So I don't think anything is a guarantee of that. We're getting new Pokemon games, you know, with Legends Arceus coming out and the Diamond and Pearl remakes. Kirby appear again for a new game.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah,
the last Kirby game came out in 2018. So I think.
Yep. I think we're due.
It could be. I think we're about due. Yeah,
and then a new Mario.
Yeah, maybe new Mario. I want to say, though, Andy Robinson over at VGC did pretty much confirm that Wind Waker and Twilight Princess are coming this year.
Awesome.
And with it being the celebration of The Legend of Zelda's, 35th anniversary, what better showcase than E3, to reveal those ports or remakes, whatever. Mm. And so in keeping with the idea of the 35th anniversary of Zelda, that's why I think people are saying Breath of the Wild 2 will be there. And to sort of like couple that with the Switch Pro, I don't know. It is very speculative, but
they could certainly just do a Zelda Direct later on though.
That's true too. But I guess I'm thinking like if those games are supposed to come out this year, or at least the Wind Waker and Twilight Princess, you've got to have like some marketing time behind that. And
but
while I think you're right, they could just do a Zelda Direct, you know, in like August or something. I don't know. E3 is just so important. You would think they would do it at E3, but it's Nintendo. Who knows?
The reason that my counterpunch to that though would be, Zelda Skyward Sword needs to be promoted for Nintendo.
Yeah.
So I could definitely see him waiting until Skyward Sword is out for them to announce the next few remasters.
That's true too.
And then, like, I think
the other
there's a possibility as well. I was talking about the 3DS games earlier. Link Between Worlds could be part of the celebration too.
Oh, that would be rad. Yeah. Oh, I because I really love that game. It's real ugly. It doesn't look very good. But but if they ported that to Switch and it made, you know, made it look better, oh man, I would love that.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you, Sterling. Next question. This is from PlayStation, friend of the show. Why do people gotta complain about cross-gen titles? Yeah. So we didn't cover this in the main round of show. Just, but yeah. God of War and Horizon and Gran Turismo 7, all these new games are also coming out on PS4, and people are mad about that. I actually did a write-up for this over at Inverse that you guys can check out, but I was sort of like breaking down the arguments of each, and we don't really have to like dive too deep into this because it is kind of a big topic, but Chris, where do you fall on this argument about the cross-gen games? Where do you fall?
I'm kind of disappointed, I have to be honest, but that's kind of selfish at the same time, because, you know, people can't get PS5s,
right?
And I'd love them to be in stock so people can check them out. And but at the same time, I think it makes sense that these are available to everyone on PS4, just because COVID really messed up a lot of people's budgets. And for them to make money on the current software that they're bringing out, they need to release them on consoles that have over 100 million owners, you know?
Right.
I think I said this earlier on Twitter, but I want it to last, that this kind of thing to last for like one more year, maybe two perhaps, while PS5s are going back into production, right?
Yeah.
I want to see PlayStation first party titles to utilize the full capabilities of the PS5, like the SSD and the DualSense technology. I'd like to see games based around that rather than I would just add them in for extra details, you know, like I want to see more gameplay opportunities from the better hardware. So it's a mix there. Like I'm fine with the games coming out on PS4 for now, but I do want to see that generational leap at some point.
Yeah. So a couple things with that. The one thing is that Sony is kind of contradicting itself, because it did at the start of this generation say, we believe in generations, you know, and they were kind of snarky about that. And then, you know, then this happens. The one thing I will say is that in a lot of cases where there's cross-generational games, the games suffer because of it, right? Because it's just spreading your resources too thinly across both versions, and then just neither version really benefits from that. Like, you know, Cyberpunk, that's a classic example, right? But what I will say is that Sony has a very positive track record with its exclusive games. And if there's any company that I think could pull off those cross-generational games, it's Sony. I think they've earned that trust.
Yeah. They have a history of that too, with the Vita and the PS3. You know, they had like Sly Cooper on there, they had PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, they had all sorts of different exclusives that were available on both platforms. So we're seeing that again with PS4 and PS5. And I think it's smart to have that set up where, like, okay, you played the PS4 version. Once you get your PS5, you're all set, because it's going to be a free upgrade.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I totally get your point, and I'm kind of with you on that. These games would be better if they were just built from the ground up with PS5 in mind and not having to worry about PS4. Yeah. It's just, from a business perspective, that just doesn't... They're going to sell fewer copies if it's exclusive, right?
Yeah. So Ratchet looks very promising. PS5.
Ratchet looks very promising. Yeah. all right, Chris. We've got one more question here. Bet you can't guess who it's from. Mm.
Is it from Josh?
No, it's not.
Where is Josh? Did Turner and Hooch kill him? What's going on?
Maybe Turner and Hooch.
He finally got us, one of us.
Our last question here is from number one Turner and Hooch fan. I couldn't hear a word you were saying there. I couldn't hear anything. All right, Chris. Here, I'll do it for you so the listeners can hear.
Oh, God.
Hooch. Okay. Turner and Hooch says, "Hey, buckaronis, I need some help." Before we get to the rest of this question, if somebody starts their request with, "Hey, buckaronis, I need some help," I am way more inclined to help. I just want to say. You're much more likely to get my help if you start off with, "Hey, buckaronis, I need some help."
All right. I just want Jeff Keighley to go, "Hey, buckaronis, welcome to the Summer Game Fest."
Yeah, world premiere.
World premiere, all right, buckaronis.
Here we go. Buckaronis. All right. "Can you send me some cheat codes for The Mummy on PS1? Brendan Fraser is looking pretty rough, and I want to give him a funny hat." This is really funny. I don't know if you guys have ever seen this game before, but it obviously looks awful now. This was the first PlayStation game I bought. I didn't buy it, but this was the first PlayStation game that I ever, like, given to me as a gift. But what was funny about this is my grandma would do this thing with me where she would, like, go, whatever, we'd go to a store or wherever, and I would see something I want, and she would go, "Okay, I'll get it for you now, but it's for your birthday, and you can't get it until your birthday." So she bought it for me, and then I guess Christmas came first or something, I don't know. The way it lined up, I got Spider-Man on the PS1 first, and then I guess I got this maybe for Christmas. So she said birthday and then gave it to me for Christmas. I don't know. But anyway, this was the first game that was ever purchased for me as a gift, and it's kind of significant for that. But if you look at this game, it looks like trash. It looks like absolute butt. Or did you Google a picture of it?
No, I was actually watching Josh, our friend Josh Nichols, streaming it on Jack Josh, nice. Or whatever. I can't remember his exact channel name, but I think that's it. And it was very funny. It was very, very funny to watch, and Josh was really into it. Yep.
So I'm looking up an image of this. Okay, do you guys know, like, the Harry Potter PS1 game? There's that famous meme of Hagrid, just, like, horribly, like,
polygonal. I love that game.
Yeah, it's actually not bad. Obviously, I don't think it holds up now. Yeah. Anyway, but oh man, I'm looking at these screenshots for The Mummy. Fucking awesome. So this is for PS1. I think this wasn't during a time when, like, licensed games like this would come out on, like, all current platforms, you know?
Yeah.
So there might be, like, a Game Boy version.
There is a Game Boy version. Turn-based RPG.
Oh yeah, see, that would happen a lot.
Yeah.
There would be a licensed game and it would come out on multiple platforms, but they would all be, like, different genres.
Yeah.
Or, like, some of them would be.
The PS1 version and the PS2 versions of the Harry Potter games are very different as well.
Yeah. I kind of like the PS1 versions better.
Same. Same.
I don't know why. That was just my memory as a kid. Anyway. Okay, thank you for the questions, everybody. We really appreciate that. And also, while we're talking about that, why don't you let us know your E3 predictions? You can add us on Twitter or, you know, get a hold of us in some way. And maybe we'll read them on the show or something. Yeah, let us know your predictions. I think that would be fun. Chris, I haven't really been playing anything. Do you want to end the show with what we've been playing here? I don't know if you've been playing anything that you're able to talk about.
I've just been playing Fortnite as well as the game I can't talk about. Oh, actually, there is a game I can talk about. Virtua Fighter Ultimate Showdown on the PS5.
Oh, yeah, didn't that just come out?
That just came out, right? Yeah, I saw that, like, you played a little bit of it, I think.
No.
No, you didn't?
No.
Okay.
No, I haven't played that.
Strange.
Why do you think that? Hold on.
I think it showed up on your friend list. On the friend list or something, you're playing it. But I might be mistaken.
On PlayStation?
Yeah.
I better not have trophies for this. What the hell? No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. I might be mistaken.
No. Okay. No.
I did not play that game.
No, you leave it in. Leave it in.
Fuck it.
Leave it in. All right.
But Virtua Fighter 5 Ultimate Showdown is actually pretty impressive of what it's done. So, they've updated the models with Yakuza, like graphics. So, like, all the facial animation looks actually pretty good. And then the stages have been beautifully realized with on the PS4 and PS5. Yeah, like, it's pretty fun, actually. Like, it has a decent tutorial mode that shows you the ropes of, like, okay, this is our unique mechanics. This is how you input moves, stuff like that. And it also shows you how to do combos, right, with each character, which I found very helpful.
Hell yeah.
I just wish it showed, like in Tekken, it actually shows you a video of how it should be implemented, but that's actually lacking in Virtual Fighter 5, so maybe with the next game they could do that. Online
this is a, like, a remaster of Virtual Fighter 5?
Yeah, it's a AAA remaster, like the Crash Insane Trilogy or Shadow of the Colossus, that kind of stuff. It's built up from the Yakuza engine. I think it's called the Dragon Engine, if I remember correctly.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and it was made with M2 and Ria Go Gataku, I think their name is called, the developer of the Yakuza games. So, yeah, it was...
Yeah.
I'm impressed. I think I'm going to play more of this game. I've wrote a few guides for it, actually, on GamePer. And, yeah, like, the online's
it's a PS
surprisingly
Plus game,
good.
Right?
Yeah, PS Plus game for the next few months, I think. So go redeem it. It's worth a download. Go check it out.
It's going to be a Plus game for the next few months?
I think so, yeah. And it's on PlayStation now well. But the online works amazing. From my experience so far, I've had no lag, and that's very important in a fighting game. So, yeah, totally recommend it. The characters are a little old-fashioned. They're from a different time.
Well, it's an old game. Yeah, it's an old game.
Yeah, yeah, but if you can look past that, great. It's a great fighting game.
Cool. Anything else, Chris?
I have Fortnite. I played Fortnite. This is the first time I've finished the Battle Pass, so I've got to rank 100 now. Got all the skins,
Damn.
All the costumes. And I don't know why, but I really got into this season just because the bow and arrow is so satisfying to use. I love the different challenges it gave us, like, throughout the season. Yeah, I like all the different events, the locations, like the spire. You know, it looks epic. And I'm looking forward to the next season, which is going to be sci-fi themed. So it's going to be aliens taking over. Hopefully you'll see some Star Wars here and there.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That'll be out in the next couple weeks.
Yes.
I think like 2 more weeks or something like that. Yeah.
I think it's happening this week from the time you're listening.
Oh, really? Yeah. Normally they do like 14-week seasons. Maybe it is. Yeah, you could be right.
I think it's June 8th when it ends.
Oh, wow, that is like the day this show goes live, or maybe the day before that. Huh.
Could be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know. Cool. I just want to mention Resident Evil Village. I got the platinum in that game. It's funny because, you know, there are all these, like, trophies for beating it on the hardest difficulty and beating the game with only using a knife and all that stuff. But, like, once you unlock, like, certain items, you can just breeze through the game, like, super easily. I think the mercenary challenges are the hardest, just because you have to, like, keep your combo going and stuff. It's really hard. I will say my time that I got on it, let me pull this up, because I was thoroughly impressed with my time. My final time for speedrun on this game, I am pulling it up now, was an hour 43 minutes. And just for comparison's sake, the world record, or at least maybe it's not the world record now, but maybe as of a week ago, was an hour 26 minutes.
That's impressive.
So I'm less than 20 minutes off of the world record, and the world record does like a glitch, or I don't know, not a glitch, I don't know what you want to call it, but they like go out of bounds to like skip over to a section. So like I didn't do that, and so that's my time without that out of bounds glitch. So okay. I'm tooting my own horn right now.
Yeah,
I'm tooting my own horn.
I just realized I can talk about the mystery game now, because the embargo is today from you listening to this. So I played Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart.
Review code provided by PlayStation Canada. Thank you.
Cool. Yeah, I'm very excited to talk about this because this is an amazing 3D platformer. I grew up on these games, like the Ratchet and Clank games. Like, the characters are so lovable. You know, they're very relatable, and the worlds are just gorgeous. Like, everyone compares it to Pixar, you know, in terms of the animation and the worlds. But I like, the comparison is perfect, you know, just because of how bright and colorful and vibrant everything is. Like, how everything is animated is so immaculate, and like, it has that Looney Tunes feel where it's like bouncy, and like, there's all sorts of things happening on screen. There's chaos, but it's a beautiful symphony of weapons and wrenches and all sorts of crazy enemies, like dinosaurs and stuff. So so where do I go from this? So the story has you play as two different characters. So you're playing as Ratchet and Rivet, and you're like, with each planet you're kind of switching between the both. And
so,
yeah,
sorry, can you switch on the fly, or
no,
does each planet
each planet has its own, dedicated to its own kind of characters, right? So okay. Ratchet and then Rivet meets Clank, right? So there's kind of like that interesting kind of dynamic happening again, because we're used to Ratchet and Clank being together, you know? So right, it's nice to have a little twist on the series, you know, as the dimensions have kind of like rifted apart, and we're seeing alternate dimensions where, what if Ratchet is a girl and it's Rivet? Yeah, there's like, if you're a fan of the series, there's so many throwbacks, and you'll be delighted, I think. I think the game is more crude than it has been for a long time, and part of the charm of the original games was that kind of like cheeky kind of humor, and I think that's partly back in Rift Apart. You know, I've seen a few things here and there that call it back, and like, for in terms of gameplay, what I really love about this is that it's kind of gone more open world. I was mentioning this earlier with PlayStation games, but this is another open world game from that publisher. And I like how they actually introduced that to Ratchet. I think it's the next evolution of the series, because you're solving puzzles as you go around the worlds. They're pretty large, actually. They like, it take you a few minutes to get from one place to another. And like, the set pieces, the monuments you find, all that kind of stuff, all the collectibles, they're thoroughly entertaining to find and explore. And also it makes it easier for people who want to find collectibles, because it marks like every kind of like, at certain points it marks like every kind of like item you can find, every collectible on the map. As soon as you like in that vicinity, it actually marks it. It's still quite challenging to actually find them and solve the puzzle that way, but I do love Insomniac's kind of like approach to like, okay, we've hid Raritanium behind this wave of enemies, you know, and they kind of interact with you based on like the world itself and what's going on around you, right? It feels like a more evolved kind of like version of Ratchet, and I'm very excited to play more of Rift Apart as this weekend goes by. I'll have a review up by the time this episode comes up. It will be on Tech Raptor, so go read it there.
Awesome. I did want to ask you.
Yeah.
So you're how far in are you at this point?
I'm about 4 hours, 3 or 4 hours in. I've been kind of sidetracked by kind of like guides work and all sorts of like collectible finding, right? So I'm having like a different experience to what most would probably find while playing this game.
Mm-hmm.
But Yeah, it's just it's fantastic, this game. I love exploring the different worlds. It's kind of, I guess I should mention this, like on this planet called Sargasso, it's kind of like a swampland kind of area. And I found that in some places in the open world, it was kind of bugged, or it was like, you're not meant to go on that platform. You know, you're not meant to go on top of this like rocky surface, you know? And I came across that a few times, so it kind of felt a bit awkward at points, because when I died at a certain area in the game from falling into the water or something like that, it kind of, the checkpoint was in an area that was inconvenient, right?
Gotcha.
Yeah, so it's not near anything that you need or any creatures that you can ride on, you know? So it was a little strange at points. Thankfully, I got my worked my way around it. But yeah, like, just keep that in mind while you're exploring the world. Just like, don't go to places that have no items or collectibles, because it's probably bad news.
Yeah. I wonder if that'll get patched or something.
I think so. Yeah.
Cool. Well, perhaps you'll have more to talk about Ratchet and Clank on next episode. Okay. Yeah. And so, yeah, we'll just want to, we'll publish this in time for embargoes. That way, everybody, you know, we don't make anybody.
It'd be the normal time. It'd be the normal time.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Chris, that's all I have for this episode. You wanna wrap up here and say goodnight?
Yeah. First thing, cool. I wanna say, I thoroughly recommend Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart. So go check it out. Go support 3D platformers. It's an amazing game that kind of like goes beyond what your expectations are for that kind of game. So check it out. You can find me on Twitter at PenwellWrites. You can find my written work on GamePer, where I'm writing a lot of guides, Tech Raptor, RetroWare, where I'm going to be covering E3 for them. So watch out there for like a bunch of indie interviews and retro focused interviews as well. Yeah, and also you can listen to Go Beyond the My Hero Academia podcast each and every Wednesday. Vaughn Hyde and I, we go through each and every episode of the show in excruciating detail, and it's a lot of fun, especially if you're a My Hero Academia fan, and Vaughn is hilarious. So if you don't like listening to me, you should listen to him.
I like that. That's a great way to still bring people in. That's awesome. Cool. Chris, thanks for your time here. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And remember, you can find me on Twitter at Joseph Yaden. You can find my work at Digital Trends and Inverse. I'm a staff writer at Inverse now, part-time. That was the announcement I had. I didn't know when I could make that announcement. So, woo.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So you'll be finding my work there. Still going to be doing news and stuff over at Digital Trends, but yeah, for Inverse, like I said, I did that piece on sort of the pros and cons of the cross-generational idea, and that was sparked by Sony's decision to, you know, bring those, you know, popular sequels to PS4 and PS5. I also did this was really fascinating. I did a piece on the most interesting or most wild or whatever you want to call it fan theories about Elden Ring. And I've got to say, the Elden Ring fans are, first of all, very creative, but they are like, it's like super diehard fans. Like, this group of Elden Ring fans made their own Elden Ring game.
It's only a teaser trailer. Like, what is that to get off of?
They basically got tired of waiting for Elden Ring, and so they made their own Elden Ring, and it's like playable. So you get, I don't know that you, like, we can play it, but there's a playable version of it somewhere, and there's a video that you can watch on that. So anyway, you can check that out. Chris, let's say goodbye for the day. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Stay tuned next week for our E3 coverage as well. Don't know how that's going to work with my moving situation, but we'll figure something out. And I don't know, we might put Josh's, I don't know if Josh's E3 predictions will have made it into this episode. I hope they do. I don't know that right now because we're back in time. So we'll see what happens there. Chris, I hope you have a good night. Thank you for joining me on this episode, and I'm gonna go take a nap and eat a sandwich in that order.
And if you want to hear more E3 predictions from me, you can go listen to the Canadian Geekcast. I'm not technically Canadian, but I kind of am, so I kind of count.
You're Canadian. Yeah. So, all right, we will catch you on the next one, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.